Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
Welcome, and what a great show we have for you today. I found a couple of great songs by Phillips, Craig, and Dean that help us underscore our main point today about the blood of Jesus. The name of this song is Let the Blood Speak for Me. Here are Phillips, Craig, and Dean.
Guilty as charged, I stand. Got here by my own hand. I've no defense. The evidence is clear. Left to my I thought the world was mine, but all I felt were chains that bound me here. I can't deny I'm lost in sin. I could plead my own case, but I would not win. The only hope I see are the stains of Calvary. So I let the blood speak. Sin I knew all too well. I'm condemned to face this empty place inside. Held captive by selfishness. No argument I confess. No pardon for so much foolish pride. I can't deny I'm lost in sin. I could plead my own case, but I would not win. The only hope I see are the stains of Calvary. So I let the blood speak for me. The blood says I.
Have you seen the latest Reader's Digest? We got it just recently. The front cover says in big letters, How to Hide Anything. It goes on to give a list of things they're going to teach us how to hide. Anxiety, the spare key, passwords, extra pounds, a water stain, and more. See page 122 for details. I got to looking at the list and classifying those items. A spare key is a good thing that needs to be hidden. So are passwords. But what about anxiety? Wouldn't it be better to just get rid of anxiety rather than just hide it? What about extra pounds and a water stain? Wouldn't it be better just to lose those pounds and get rid of that water stain rather than just hide it? But isn't it like our society to decide that something is just worth living with rather than get rid of it, just live with it and just hide it. The headline said, how to hide anything. Anything? There are some things that should be gotten rid of and not hidden. One thing that people often try to hide is sin. When we look in the Bible and go back to the Garden of Eden, we see that Adam and Eve, the first humans, were created by God without sin. They were created in innocence, and they had a perfect relationship with the Lord, fellowshipping with Him in the garden. They walked every evening. And the Lord gave only one rule for them. And this is important because it lets us know that God had made them free moral agents. They were able to choose whether to maintain their wonderful, innocent walk with the Lord or whether to sin. He gave them only one rule, and that was to not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Well, eventually, Adam and Eve were tempted, and they chose to sin against God. They disobeyed His one rule for them. This sin caused a sin curse to come upon them. They literally cursed themselves in body, soul, and spirit. Immediately, they realized shame and nakedness and were no longer able to simply pursue their wonderful relationship with the Lord in innocence. In their nakedness and shame, they sought to hide the problem by, number one, making aprons for themselves out of fig leaves, and number two, by even going so far as to hide themselves behind bushes when the Lord came calling. Where are you, Adam? I've hidden myself, Lord. Why? Well, because I'm naked. Who told you you were naked? Have you broken the rule? Have you eaten of the tree? In the judgment that followed, the Lord showed that their efforts to cover themselves and hide their sin were inadequate. The Lord decreed that death for their sins must occur. And the Lord made a way to cover their nakedness until their physical death occurred by making them coats of leather. But this involved the killing of an animal. So we see that blood was shed in order to make a covering that was sufficient for them. This is symbolic. It represents to us the death of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who shed His blood to die in our stead, to die in our place, with His blood being the only sufficient covering for sin. Please do not try to hide your sin behind the fig leaves of human philosophy, man-made religion, or your own efforts to try to be righteous by living decently, so-called. Instead, come to Jesus, confess your sins, and allow Him to wash you in His blood, truly covering, and in fact, washing away your sins. The Bible lets us know that the blood of Jesus Christ was shed for the remission of sins, that is, the forgiveness of sins. In Matthew 26:28, Jesus said, "For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Now, if you're one of those people who believes that living decently is going to earn your way into heaven, you need to understand that the Scripture indicates all of us have a sin problem that needs dealt with. And the Scripture indicates that Jesus is the only door into heaven. One Scripture says, "There is none that doeth good." No, not one. Another Scripture says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." On the day of Pentecost, when Peter was preaching to them, as he preached the gospel, they became convicted in their hearts, and they began to cry out and say, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" The answer came in verse 38 of chapter 2. "Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Acts 10:34 says, "To him give all the prophets witness, that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." Romans 3:25 speaks of him saying, "Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Friend, if you are not covered by the blood of Jesus, then you have a sin problem. And that sin problem cannot be hidden by any trappings, any fig leaves of man-made methods to cover it. And if you want salvation, you need salvation God's way. You don't need religion, which is simply man's approach to God, man's way. You need relationship, which is man's approach to God, God's way. You need remission of sins, forgiveness of sins, through the blood of Jesus. Well, I mentioned that I had found a couple of songs by Phillips, Craig, and Dean, and here now is the second one. This song is entitled Because of That Blood.
Earn your way, hey, that's a lesson that we're taught. But I know things eternal can't be sold and can't be bought. Amazing grace is something I could never hold. And I know love and mercy are outside of my control. But I'm reminded of a ransom paid beyond my worth on a hill outside the city where heaven kissed the earth. Because of that blood, because of that tree, because of that mercy pouring over me, because of that grace I've been set free. Because of you, Jesus, I have been redeemed. Hey, some believe they can make it on their own, but only in the end to find they're really not that strong. But I believe that if I choose to live by faith, that God will give me strength to make it each and every day. But we are lost without a Savior to save us from ourselves. For it's only by the grace of God that we can live to tell. Hey, because of that blood, because of that tree, because of that mercy pouring over me, because of that grace I've been set free. Because of you, Jesus, I have been redeemed. Yeah.
Who of us can say that we are worthy of the blood of Jesus Christ? All that we can do is simply
because of that blood, because of that tree, because of that mercy, Lord, it's pouring over me. Because of that grace, I feel so free. Because of you, Jesus, I have been redeemed. Because of that grace, I feel so free. Thank you, Lord. Hey. Because of that blood.
To all the ministers, pastors, and church members listening, or even just a concerned citizen who cares about the direction this country is taking, please visit www.wvformarriage.com. That's WVFORmarriage.com. We support the West Virginia Marriage Amendment. Many states have already amended their constitutions, making it clear that the traditional definition of marriage is to be the legal definition of marriage, and that is one woman, one man. That's marriage. We all need for West Virginia to be the next state to take that step. For information on why this step is needed and for tips on how you can help, visit WV4Marriage.com. That's WVFORMarriage.com. Here's a word from the good folks at the Family Policy Council for West Virginia.
Marriage began in the heart of God, and He designed it perfectly for one man and one woman, a husband, a wife, a family, the building block of every community, every culture, every race, every nation. Governments have recognized and uniquely protected marriage for more than 2,000 years, so families can pass life to the next generation. In West Virginia, however, there is currently no clear definition of marriage as only the union of one man and one woman. Yet, marriage has a public status, and in most states is protected in law. Marriage between a man and a woman is held up as the ideal in all of civilized society because of its profound stabilizing influence on our culture, as well as the important economic benefits of strong and intact families. But today, that ideal is under an unrelenting attack, and same-sex marriage in West Virginia is a closer reality than you may think. 30 states have already passed constitutional amendments defining marriage, but activists outside our state are aggressively targeting the remaining 20, including West Virginia, working tirelessly to redefine marriage away from God's design to favor the desires of adults over the needs of children for the naturally balanced model of a mother and a father. The push for same-sex marriage has produced an historical crisis for the church. Today, in courtrooms across the country, in decisions as recent as last month, our constitutional guarantee of religious liberty is going toe-to-toe with an aggressive social agenda, and religious liberty is losing. Judges in California, Massachusetts, New Jersey, and Connecticut have arbitrarily redefined marriage and religious freedom, and virtually every area of ministry is coming under legal attack, threatening our ability to freely and legally follow the faith. Church daycare, faith-based marriage counseling, Christian adoption agencies, religious schools, Christian businesses, doctors, professionals, parachurch ministries, even the church, its clergy, and lay leadership. Each is a growing battleground for promoting same-sex unions against church teaching, even individual conscience, with the full weight of the law standing against the faithful. With alarming swiftness, these sweeping changes are moving from the courtroom to the classroom. In many schools today, teachers are being ordered to stop using the words mother and father. Father's Day celebrations are not observed, and the very concept of motherhood is abandoned to political correctness. Across the country, elementary school children are being taught to equate homosexuality with heterosexuality. And incredibly, a parent's right to object to this indoctrination is becoming legally impossible. In West Virginia, same-sex advocates could easily launch the state and its churches into legal chaos. They know that what was done in California was never intended to stay in California. A weekend trip to San Francisco for a West Virginia same-sex couple, plus a pro bono ACLU attorney, could easily become a nightmare for marriage in West Virginia. In fact, a currently pending same-sex adoption case here could effectively allow 5 unaccountable judges in Charleston to alter the biblical definition of marriage for all of West Virginia. It's time to legally define marriage now, before costly litigation makes it politically and practically impossible. West Virginians should define marriage, not judges under pressure to be progressive. West Virginians have an opportunity to take a stand for God's design, but only if elected officials will allow a vote in 2009. And West Virginians clearly desire to preserve the definition of marriage as one man and one woman in our state constitution. What's also clear is that to pass a marriage amendment in West Virginia this year, the church must lead. Pastors and their congregations must be willing and committed to defending God's design for marriage. Please pray about your active involvement at this critical moment in our state's history. Some of the things you can do include praying for marriage in West Virginia, meeting personally with your delegate and state senator. Share with them your concerns about religious freedom and the moral definition of marriage. Ask for their support to allow the people of West Virginia to decide on marriage, not unaccountable judges. Pray for them. And remember that it is the church's calling to speak truth to power, so power will speak the truth. Your involvement matters. Voting and involvement in the public square is central to being salt and light and bearing witness to the truth. 2009 is West Virginia's best opportunity to take a stand for God's design. The time to preserve the definition of marriage in our Constitution is now. One man, one woman. That's marriage.
You're listening to the Voice of Truth. I'm Pastor Doug Joseph. A quick reminder, today is the deadline for ordering angel food for the month of March. You can order online. Just go to www.cac.us.com/order. Again, that's cac.us.com/order. If you just want to print out a paper menu or just look at the menu and check out the March offering from Angel Food Ministries, go to cac.us.com/angelfood. That's cac.us.com/angelfood. You'll enjoy this delicious food, and you'll especially be glad for the wonderful price. CAC and Angel Food Ministries, helping families eat better. We've got time for one more song by our friends Phillips, Craig, and Dean. This one comes from their album entitled Where Strength Begins. And in honor of the blood of Jesus, I want to bring this song to you. It's called This Is How It Feels to Be Free. Here are Phillips, Craig, and Dean.
There's a wall that has been standing since the day that Adam fell. Sin is where it started. Sin is why it held. Speaking as a prisoner who was there and lived to tell. I remember how it felt. I could hear the sound of freedom like a distant voice it called and beckoned me to follow where I had never gone. And though my heart was willing, I just stood there at the wall praying somehow it would fall. But in a cross I found a doorway and a hand that held the key. When the chains fell at my feet for the first time I could see. This is how it feels to be free. This is what it means to know that I am forgiven. This is how it feels to be free. To see that life can be more than I imagine. This is how it feels to be free. This is how it feels to be free, yeah.
There are days when I'm reminded of the prison I was in, like a living nightmare burning from within. I can feel the voice of evil, I can hear the call of sin, but I won't go back again. See, once I tasted freedom, then the walls could bind no more. Since mercy gave me wings to fly like an eagle, I can soar.
Today, in a moment of unguarded creativity, I invented a new signature line for myself. Instead of my usual, "Sincerely, Pastor J," I thought of him and signed off on a message with, "Sincerely, Pastor J." I wouldn't mind if it catches on. I once learned the etymology of the word sincere, and ever since, I've always liked the word. It's not that I have anything against the word itself, and it's not that I think the word has anything at all to do with sin. It does not. This is just a little way of letting people know that my sincerity is based upon and is because of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the human manifestation of God. His influence on me is the reason I am who I am. Now, I mentioned the etymology of the word sincere. I really love this word. If you look up the word sincere in a dictionary, it will say that it comes from the Middle French, derived from the Latin sinceris, meaning whole, pure, genuine. In early days, furniture makers would hide holes in their wood, their low-quality wood, by filling them with wax and then varnishing over their weak additive. All seemed well until an unsuspecting buyer placed his new piece of furniture too near the fireplace. The wax would melt and run out, and the maker's low-grade materials and poor practices would be revealed. Now, whenever a piece of furniture was made completely of wood, when it was pure wood, when it was genuine, then it could take the heat. It could withstand being near the fire without wax running out. Such a piece of furniture would be said to be sincere, meaning pure, whole, genuine. Only the genuine could take the heat. Well, it is because of Jesus that I am whole. It is because of Him that I am able to take the heat. It is because of Him that I am sincere. None of this comes from myself. It is because the Maker has done a good work in me. Thus, it is quite fair to say that I am sincere. Sincerely, Pastor J.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.